scenario. That's the clue I'll give you. Mark 5, and we'll read from verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains, and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, told, and they that saw it, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Amen. Let's unite in prayer a moment as we seek the Lord for his help. Father, we thank thee for this reading of your word, and what a record of a mighty transformation from a demon-possessed wretch to one who had the greatest story in the world to tell his family. We thank thee tonight for the power of the gospel that changes lives. For everyone here this evening who can testify that the Lord hath done marvelous things for them. I pray tonight that you will just teach us things that are old and new from your own word. Give help, Lord, help to each hearer, that we may rejoice in the gospel. Help to me as the preacher, that I may be faithful to thy word and to each soul here tonight. I ask for help, for the Holy Spirit, for thy grace in this pulpit. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. One man's glowing report of conversion is worth a whole library of arguments. One day, this man was absolutely crazy, living in a cemetery among the tombs. The next, he was going home to tell his family the great things that the Lord Jesus had done for him. Now, when men like Peter, James, and John, those fishermen, become disciples of the Lord Jesus, well, it seems a whole respectable matter from beginning to end. They were born into good families, they were in business, they were employed, they were in many ways walking on the clean side of the road. But when you meet this man, this demoniac of Gadara, it is no wonder that when he was converted, that we are told all men did marvel. And of course, they marveled at the man's change, but also they had to marvel at what the Lord performed and the power of the gospel. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of darkness. And that is the message. And it said that through the 3-year ministry of our Lord Jesus, that there was hardly a demon-possessed person that was not delivered. There was hardly a sick person that was not healed. The medical system would have to shut down for a while. This man, Jesus, everywhere he went, he cast out devils and he healed the sick. And he is the Savior that men need. Now, this was a particularly hard case, and yet it only gave the greater opportunity for the Lord to display his marvelous power. There is not another incident in the Bible that in such a detailed manner displays the activity of demons in a particular man. Now, there is no way that you can explain away the devil. There is no way that you can explain away the fact that people can be controlled by the devil. And if you don't want to believe that the man was possessed, what about the pigs? The 2,000 or so that, when the devils went into them, they all jumped over a cliff into the sea. Explain that. It has been said that the denial of the devil is the first step to atheism. People think that we live in a world that is deistic. That means that God just wound up the clock and set the world in motion and never interferes in a spiritual way. Well, the devil does. And praise God, God does. And thank God, Jesus does, because he came into the world to destroy the powers of darkness. Now, I wonder tonight how you are faring in this battle, because the devil is out to destroy you. The devil is out to derange you, to affect your thinking, which will affect your living, which will affect your destiny. And no doubt, this man that was in physical chains was also in spiritual chains, and only for the Lord would have been in hell. Now, one of the most amazing things that I note as I read through this is that when the Lord Jesus came on the scene, that this demoniac of Gadara, he went and worshipped the Lord Jesus. Now, at that point, it doesn't seem that he was completely delivered yet from the demon, but he was attracted to the Lord Jesus. And he was drawn to sit at his feet, like Mary of old, who chose the good part to sit at the feet of Jesus. What a wonderful thing it would be if that was your experience tonight, to come and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and that you also would be given the story to go and tell what the Lord has done for your soul. I want to look at 3 things in this event tonight. Firstly, there's the mystery of the undelivered soul, the mystery of the devil at work in the human heart. There's also the miracle of the delivered soul, and there are the marks of the delivered soul. 3 M's tonight: the mystery, the miracle, the marks. The mystery of the undelivered soul. How this man got into this state is absolutely beyond us. Not everybody was like this man. His parents seemed to have been quite normal. They were absolutely beside themselves, wondering how they could ever see their son delivered from this. The only explanation is that we're living in a world where the devil is busy, and there are particular souls that are the target of Satan. In 2 Thessalonians, we're told that the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Do not believe that you have to wait for some great tribulation to see the devil at work. The devil's at work all around us. He's at work in our homes. He's at work in our churches. He's at work in hearts. And his task is to destroy the image of God in the very faces and souls of men. In verse 5, there's a mystery about this man's strange behavior. We read, "And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." There wasn't a minute's rest for this man physically or spiritually or mentally. If one demon left him for a moment, there were others that came to continue the torment. And this is Satan's way. He gives no rest. The prophet Isaiah said that there is no rest for the wicked. That's what hell will be. Hell is a place of continual, absolute torment to the conscience, to our minds, to our souls. There will be fire. There will be the worm that cannot be destroyed. It is a place of torment. That's Satan's work, to destroy men in hell. There's also a mystery about this man's supernatural strength. If you look at verse 4, it says that he was bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. This was man's attempt to restrain him, and he broke them all, and he smashed them in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Where did he get this supernatural strength? After all, muscles, sinews, and bones only have so much energy and strength within them. But this man had some supernatural source of strength. And again, we have to see that it was the devil's power at work. Now, in the world around us, we have to realize that the devil is motivating and energizing men in their madness against sin. You see, sin never makes sense. It's never logical. It's never mathematical. 1 + 1 = 2, come to a conclusion, therefore I do this. Sin is man gone mad to destroy himself. And you take the most educated people, the most raised in moral environments with the advantages of life, what do? They fall prey to the awful temptations and powers of darkness to their own destruction. And our streets are filled with people who are spiritually energized by the powers of Satan. You can't explain the madness of sin. It doesn't make any sense that people turn to drugs, even police officers, even medical people. And there you see the medical doctor with all the signs, smoking is harmful to you. And there's the doctor smoking. The nursing profession, smoking is rampant. You just visit any hospital outside the doors, you will see the nurses on their breaks, smoking away. Alcoholism, it's ruin, it's destruction. And what does it all lead to? To suicide. The statistics are in. Greenland used to be the number one country for suicide. Then France grew into the forefront. France is a place of ungodliness, secularism, where deism and unbelief greatly grew and has been the atheistic hotbed of Europe. And suicide is number one. But don't discount Russia. And don't discount the indigenous peoples of the world, even those of First Nations in Canada. You know the statistics of many reserves and northern communities. Young people just given to vicious abandonment of normal life. And behind it all is the power of Satan. In John 8:44, we're told that the devil is a murderer. from the beginning. And his work is to destroy men's lives and souls. And he'll destroy you. You might say, but I'm stronger than that. Let me tell you, you are no match for Lucifer or any of his agents of darkness. You need a Savior. You need that protection of the gospel and the blood of Jesus. Now, there's also a great mystery in this man in his fellowship with death. Where did he dwell? Among the tombs. Strange, isn't it? This is almost Dickensian. It's like something you'd read in Great Expectations, where you have people dwelling in graveyards and cemeteries, night activity, devil worship, the powers of sorcery. Now, we read of all this in the Bible, the Old Testament. Heathen nations were given to those things, but they are around us today. A week ago, they had pagan Pride Day here in Surrey. Pagan Pride Day. I don't know their mantras. I don't know their style of religion. I don't know if they get into this communication with the devil directly. We're living in a time when Satan is out to destroy men's souls. We're in a great battle for souls. Are you winning? First of all, are you saved? Are you under the blood of Jesus? Now, it's time to look at the miracle of this delivered soul. You'll notice that this man, of course, could not help himself. Here was a man under the absolute dominion of demons. We're told in verse 2 that there was an unclean spirit. But that's not the end of the story, because down in verse 9, there is legion. Now, a Roman legion was somewhere around 3,000, perhaps up to 6,000 men. And we know that whenever the demon was cast out of this man, that the demons, plural, and there's a play on this, there is seemingly one, and then it's plural, and then there were 2,000 pigs that went committing suicide, destroying themselves right over that precipice. What is the hope of flesh and blood against these spirits? Now, this is something that you need to realize if you're not a Christian. You haven't a chance. You're in bondage. You're in chains. Satan has you. He leads you captive at his will. And you need to be delivered. Now, this man, he couldn't help himself, and he couldn't be helped by others. They tried to tame him. They tried to fetter him. But all was of no avail. He was often bound, but nothing could help. Only Christ could deliver this man. In verse 6, you will see that when the Lord Jesus appeared, he was immediately subject to the Lord Jesus. That's the wonder of the story. The Lord Jesus came into his life, and immediately he was subject to the power of the Son of God. That's the testimony of a Christian. I can tell something of that, and perhaps next week, Lord willing, I will. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of September, will be 38 years since I became a Christian. And I hope to take opportunity to share that. I know some have heard that before, but I want to be sure that everyone knows that the minister in this church at least is a saved man, born of the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus comes into your life one way or another, and you hear these testimonies, everybody has different ways by which they were led or the Lord Jesus came into their lives. But when he comes into the scene, the power, the grip, the hold of Satan is broken. Not always instantly. Not always in a powerful, critical drama. But over time, the power of Satan is broken. And what a testimony this man was to the delivering power of the Lord Jesus. Now, you'll notice that these demons, Luke's begin now at verse 10. These demons also acknowledge the power of the Lord. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now, if you go back to verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much. That is, this demon besought the Lord Jesus much, that he would not send them. There's the confusion of language here. It's a mystery. It sometimes speaks about one demon, but legion and many. And the plea is, don't send us out of the country. And all the while they're subject to the power of the Lord. And they asked permission to be sent into the herd of swine, and they were cast into the sea. That's the mighty, amazing, delivering power of the Lord Jesus. Now, where did our Lord Jesus get this power over the devil? Well, he won it at Calvary. He spoiled principality and power. You read Colossians 3. You read Colossians 1, 13, 14. And there you will learn of the mighty battle that took place between the Son of God and the powers of hell when our Lord Jesus offered up his life on that cross. Not only did men nail him to the cross, not only did the Father pour out his wrath upon him for the punishment of sin, but all of hell kicked back against the Lord Jesus in that hour. But praise God, our Lord Jesus got the victory. And he spoiled principalities and powers. He robbed hell of her captives. And our Lord Jesus has authority to set men free. And we see him here and demonstrating this power. And even the devils themselves are subject unto him. Now, if you're here tonight and you know that you're in sin, you know that you're not a Christian, you're not saved, and you're in danger, let me say, you come to the Lord. You get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I need your saving power in my life. And the Lord can break the shackles, the chains of sin. He can deliver you from temptation, and he can give you the victory. That's the amazing thing that Christians can testify to. Not only did the Lord clear the slate clean of the past, but the Lord has given me the power to live a new life. I think that was the thrust of Dave's message tonight. At first he was told, he just had to say a little formula, don't worry about changing. But that wasn't enough. Dave found that out before long. And he came to the conviction as he started to read the Bible more and more that he needed that regenerating, converting, transforming power of the Lord in his soul. You need that. That's the absolute need of your soul. And the Lord Jesus has the mighty power to do that. I bring you now tonight to the marks of the delivered soul. Let's go to verse 15. And it says there, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And did they rejoice? No, it says they were afraid. They hadn't seen the like of this. If the man had gotten worse, they wouldn't have been afraid. But they were afraid because he was better. You know, that's the power of testimony. When the world sees that you've changed, then they fear. Hey, there's something about this. This is real. There he is, the man who was deranged, naked. He's sitting clothed. We could take that as a wonderful picture of the Christian. Because of sin, we're naked. But by the righteousness of Christ, we're clothed. Clothed in that fine linen, the righteousness of saints. What a miracle. He was also sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. This man, the chains couldn't hold. And there he is, calmly sitting. The very fact that he was sitting was a miracle. But to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, Well, that pointed to his submission and subservience to the Lord Jesus himself. He was clothed. He was changed. And we're told in verse 15, he had a right mind. That took some doing. He had a right mind. One of the cause and effect of the gospel or of sin in the human heart is the ruin of minds. I spoke already about people who have every advantage in life, education, some who are in various professions and disciplines of life, and yet they fall prey to sin, to all the addictions of this world. How do you explain that? Human depravity. Sin has warped, destroyed man's mind. And regeneration is not only a renewal of heart, it's a renewal of minds to give us right thinking. That's why the Christian says, once I was blind, but now I see. And I don't know why I didn't see it sooner. But it's only when the Lord comes and touches us and delivers us that we are given that right mind. Now, this poor man, there he was. Not only was he in chains, deranged, unsettled, crying, but it says he was cutting himself. He was destroying himself. And those who loved him and cared for him, they tried to restrain him. But now he's got a right mind, and he's sitting at the very feet of the Lord Jesus. I want to read you one verse from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's you and me by nature. That's where we were at before we were converted, before the Lord Jesus came into our lives. Spiritually blind. Couldn't see. We had Bibles. We had teachers. We had all the advantages, but we were spiritually blind. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the natural mind at work, fallen, depraved, greedy. And then it says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That's what conversion is. It's to be taught by the Lord. You hear his voice. You delight in his word. You've got a new mind. And you've got new thinking. Being taught of the Lord, this man had a mind to pray. Isn't that wonderful? Just to sit at Jesus' feet and worship him. He became a man of prayer. He wanted to be present with the Lord. Look at verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Isn't that wonderful? He just wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. That's the mark of a Christian. That's the mark of a real believer. Where the Lord is found, I want to be there. That's why Christians want to be in Bible studies and prayer meetings and God's house. That's why there is no fellowship time too much. Where Jesus is, we want to be with him. But the Lord had another purpose. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. That means he didn't allow him. He said, I've got another purpose for you. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I sat in my study this afternoon and read that verse, and I thought that in 2 weeks' time, Beulah and I will be returning to our homeland. I have loved ones, family, and friends. I need to tell them. I need to be sharing the gospel with them. And as the Lord gives opportunity in their homes and in whatever get-togethers we have, my little mission will be to tell them what great things the Lord has done for me. Are you telling your friends? Are you telling your family? Our mission field begins at Jerusalem, at home. You'll never be a missionary anywhere else until you start at home. It's the hardest place on earth. Jerusalem sinners are the worst. They're the hardest. And they know your warts and your downfalls and your clay feet. They know your weaknesses. But you've got to declare not what you've done, but the great things the Lord hath done for you. That's the mark of one who is marvelously converted. Now, the sad end to this great story, and you would think this would be a day when the Lord Jesus would be the most popular man on earth. But we're told right down in verse 17, they began to pray. That means not worship prayer, but beseeching him to depart out of their coast. Isn't that sad? Here's the Lord, one of the greatest demonstrations of his power over Satan and his ability to help a poor lost soul. And the popular majority said, Lord, we don't want you. Get out of our coasts. Go somewhere else. How often have we heard that? That's a tragedy. And what did the Lord do? He went. He went. He only goes where he's invited. Make sure you don't ask the Lord to depart. You come and invite him into your heart and life to save you and to give you eternal life. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior